You're listening to Waters Church Podcast, where faith meets real life. We're one church, many locations, and one mission, to see lives changed by Jesus. No matter where you're listening from, you are a part of Waters Church family. Now, let's dive into today's message from our pastor.
Today I want to talk to you on one of the tools that God has given you to bring heaven into your situation, whatever that situation is. And we're going to look at a situation here that is fraught with problems. Somebody say problems. How many of you have had problems? You know, raise your hand if you've had problems. Anybody not raising their hand, talk to me after service. I want to know your secret. So how many know everybody's got problems? Okay, well, here's an option. Everybody's got problems, but not everybody has praise. And today I want to help you. Add the ingredient of praise to your problems, because if you do that, if you add praise to your problems, God is going to give you a pulpit. There we go. Is that pulpit? Not very clear, is it? Did you get the idea? There we go. There's a pulpit right there. Add praise to your problems, God gives you a pulpit. There's no avoiding problems, and Paul the Apostle knew this, and some of you got to get a hold of this. There's no avoiding problems, even if you do what God wants you to do. I want to give you 3 points on what we do in the face of our obstacles, in the face of our challenges, in the face of our problems. Number one, write this down. We understand the spiritual battle lines. You got to understand there's something going on in the unseen realm around you right now. Not just right now, but every day of your life, there is a spiritual battle at work. Your enemy, the devil, scripture says, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan roamed the earth in the time of Job. He roams the earth right now. Not only Satan, but I believe there are demonic spirits at work in the heavenly realms. Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. People are not the problem. Demonic spirits, principalities, rulers, authorities in the heavenly realm are the obstacles, the opponents that we must be aware of. Now, in our chapter today in Acts chapter 16, oh, by the way, we've been walking through this all these 3 weeks of prayer and fasting, and I hope this has been a benefit to you. But number 15 is where you are today if you've been following along the devotion for our 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. Here's how it opens today. Praise is a weapon. Some people think, oh, praise happens when I've won the battle. Uh-uh. Praise happens in the battle. You cannot wait for the battle to be won. That's like a soldier with an M16 rifle waiting to shoot shots up into the air as soon as the enemy surrenders. No. You gotta use the weapon to win the war. Praise can happen after the battle, sure. But you gotta start to move that praise into the battle. Praise when the problem is happening. Add praise to your problems. God gives you a pulpit. And it says this, praise is a weapon. Midnight worship shakes prisons because it declares God is greater than my circumstance. And I love this. Miracles begin when praise rises where complaints could live. What have you been complaining about this week? I hope you haven't been complaining about the fast. Lord knows I've been tempted to. I've been driving by, you know, some of my favorite haunts. They look good to me. I mean, I don't usually eat Dunkin' Donuts food, but I've been seeing the advertisements. God help these football games with all these advertisements. That's not helping. And I've been looking at Dunkin' Donuts saying, mm-mm-mm. And then you got to stop and you got to say, Lord Jesus, you are better. You are more delicious than the delights of this world. Miracles begin when praises rise where complaints could live. So today, you got to understand the battle lines. Satan is out to get you. Satan wants to dominate your thoughts. And it might not be Satan for you, it's demon, spiritual principalities. They want to occupy space in your mind. Every battle has a ground that the opponents fight over. 250 years ago, the ground we're sitting in right now was fought over between Britain and the colonists. The colonists won, we got the ground. How about this? Who's winning the ground in your mind? Who's gaining ground? Who's losing ground? Now, you got to understand that you are on enemy territory, and Paul experiences that here in Acts chapter 16. As we were going to pray, verse 16 of Acts 16, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. The word divination here in Greek is pythos, from which we get the word python. And a python is a snake. How does Satan show up in the garden? As a snake. So this is the spirit of divination, spirit of, there is, by the way, spiritual, there are false evil spirits that perform false evil signs. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus declares very, very plainly to the church, he said, there's going to be an increase of lawlessness in the last days, and there will be a leader who will perform miracles. He will perform signs. And what I'm saying is there will be a deceptive quality to miraculous powers in the last days. Christians, you never want to mess with a fortune teller. That's what she is. She's a fortune teller. You never want to mess with tarot cards. Or, this might offend some people, Reiki massage. You gotta watch. This is opening the door of your mind to spiritual oppression. The enemy is not to be trifled with. You gotta take him seriously. And the scripture says in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are from God, but the whole world is under the power of the evil one. And there is a power at work in the world today that if you ignore it, you are a sitting duck for his strategies and eventually his strongholds. Who's winning the battle? Now look at the picture of this girl. She is a picture of the game plan of the enemy. The game plan of the enemy. First off, she's a slave girl. What does the devil want to do? He wants to enslave. That's why your habits become addictions. Addictions become prisons. By the way, if that's you, we've got a class called Celebrate Recovery. I encourage you, get help. Some things are just too strong for us to take on alone. By the way, fasting and prayer is how we break the strongholds of the enemy. Jesus says in Mark 6 that some demons can only come out by prayer and fasting. Some strongholds can only come out when we let God be everything to us and we ignore and forego food so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. What I'm trying to say is you got to understand the battle lines of the enemy. So enslavement is number one. Number two, she had owners. They were making money off of her. Number two battle plan of the enemy is exploitation. You ever notice how everything that we could be hooked by has a price tag? The end game is to exploit you. God wants to prosper you. I believe that with all my heart. God wants to prosper you. The scripture says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth and he adds no trouble to it. Oh, I love that promise. I have no problem telling you that the Lord has blessed my life abundantly, way beyond my wildest imaginations. And he has blessed me. And this is so important for you to hear, church. Some of your weak givers, because you stress about the salary of the pastor. God has blessed me beyond my salary. Outside of the salary that I have at this church, the Lord has blessed me in ways, multiplication blessings. And I look at my life, I say, how? You know what it is? It's the blessing of the Lord. It brings wealth. God does not want you broke. Yes, blessed are the poor. Yes, the poor will be blessed. It's not a blessing to be poor. The poor will be blessed. Amen. Not that they'll be blessed necessarily with wealth, but they'll be blessed. Anyway, exploitation is the devil's game. Prosperity is God's game. And then so you got enslavement, you got exploitation, and then you've got this. And don't miss this. Economics. They brought M-I-C-K-S. There we go. My brain can only do one thing at one time. So exploitation, enslavement, exploitation, economics. That's the devil's game plan. You will start drinking, and before you know it, you're spending half your paycheck on alcohol, and before you know it, you got nothing. Same thing with marijuana and drug use. Same thing with pornography. Same thing with keeping up with the Joneses. Same thing. If you ever see, there's a movie out called The Joneses. It is a very unknown, very little known movie. Check it out. I can't speak for all the content in that show, so just watch out. I watched it a long time ago, but it's about basically trying to keep up with other people, and it'll wreck your life. Everything in this world that can become an addiction leads to enslavement, exploitation, and there's always an economic cost. This poor girl is under the enslavement and exploitation and the economic system of the devil. Now, this system exists all around the world. Scripture says in Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the domain of what? The domain of darkness. Circle darkness in your notes. He has transferred us in the kingdom of his son, beloved son. Good news, Christian. If you are in Christ, you are not captive to the domain of Satan. But you have got to get a picture here that scripture very clearly paints about the battle lines of the spiritual war that you are in. Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 10 verse 18, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from where? From heaven. Yeah, before he was on this earth, Satan was in heaven. Before he was Satan, which means, by the way, accuser. That's what Satan means, accuser. He was an angel. Do you know this? He was an angel. He was called Lucifer, son of the morning, morning star, day star, some people call him. This comes from Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14 talks about the fall of Satan. Satan was one of three archangels in the presence of God. Listen to this. Before human beings were created. He was in heaven. By the way, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were all there, ruling on the throne. Around the throne, three archangels, Gabriel, the messenger of the word, Michael, the messenger of spiritual warfare, and Lucifer. Lucifer was, many theologians believe, the song leader in heaven. The song leader in heaven. Now, let me just say something. It's going to sound rude, but I think there's improvement here happening. You ever notice how so often secularists have far better music than Christians? Because Satan is in charge of their music. Please do not ignore this. I got to be honest. I'm a musician. I've been a musician my whole life, and I have no problem saying this. Man, he is skilled. He can write a beat. He can get us singing. And you ever notice that you'll be singing a song, a secular song, and suddenly you'll say, what am I saying? I can't believe I'm saying those words. Right? My first album ever bought was called, it was by a band called Poison. Boy, what? I'm dating myself. But what an appropriate name for secular music, Poison. And the name of the song was Talk Dirty to Me. Confession is good for the soul. Pray for your past. No, the Lord's delivered me from this. The Lord's delivered me. But I used to sing that song, oh my old doctor. What am I singing? And you know, if you ever hear that song, it is good. I hate to say it. It is good. Do you know, because Satan is skilled. Where did he get his skill? He got it from God. But here's what happened. He let his skill go to his head. And the scripture says in Isaiah 14, he said, I will arise, I will ascend, I will be like the Most High. I will set my throne on the mountains of the Lord. I will rule over God. as soon as he rebelled, he was cast out of heaven like lightning. Now, nobody puts this together, but where was he cast to? Earth. Now, when Scripture opens up, let me show you something. When Scripture opens, now all that took place before we got here. When Scripture opens up in Genesis, the Scripture says the earth was without form and what? Void. This is chaos. This is emptiness. These are the two things that Satan traffics in. People are confused. People are blinded. And then notice this. Darkness was over the face of the earth. This is because Satan was cast to this planet. And the first thing that God says is what? Let there be light. From the beginning, you have to understand, Genesis is painting a picture. From the beginning, God's intention was to invade the kingdom of Satan. And out of the ground, God formed a man, put into his lungs the breath of life. And the man was created to worship and praise God. You understand this? I hope you're getting a little bit jived about praise this morning. When you praise, you strike a blow to the kingdom of darkness on this planet. When you lift your voice to God, the devil has an allergic reaction because you're doing what he forsook up in heaven. You've been assigned to replace him, to bring glory and praise to God in the heavenly realms. But understand that this is most, understand you are presently, if you're in Christ, you are presently on enemy territory. So you cannot expect this world to love you. In fact, Jesus said, if this world loves you, it's because you belong to this world. But because it hates you, that's a sign that I have brought you out of this world. You understand this? So important. So important. Young people, you don't follow the crowd. You don't follow Satan. Don't be stupid. Darkness, emptiness, confusion. That's all that awaits you. Now, the good news is Satan fell like lightning from heaven. We're on enemy territory, but we're in Christ. He has delivered us, back to Colossians 1, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Now, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, and Jesus says, I have given you authority over the power of the enemy. You can tread on what? Serpents and scorpions. Now, that doesn't mean go play with snakes. I hate snakes. And nobody has a pet scorpion. A snake bites you with his head, a scorpion bites you with his tail. From head to foot, the devil stings. And you've been given authority. Somebody say authority. Authority. In your notes, circle authority. I've got authority over the power of the enemy. And circle the word power, because some people don't take the devil seriously enough. He's not to be trifled with. This is why you've got to check. What are you allowing into your home? What are you allowing into your body? What are you allowing into your ears? You got to check this out. This is not a game. There's a power at work in the spiritual realm. Take ownership of it. Now, there's a plan that the devil has mapped out for every human being. The devil's plan, write this down, letter A, B, and C. Letter A, deception. He's the father of lies. The devil has a plan for you. He wants to deceive you. And every lie that you believe seeds ground to the devil. Every lie, and how many, one of the things that you got to remember is it's so important to get under the word, because the word undoes the power of the enemy's lies. One of the lies that some of you believe, someone's here, this is your lie. This is what you believe. God's out to get you. No, he's not. The devil is out to get you. Enemies in the spiritual realm are out to get you. God is out to save you. Another lie that the devil will seed into your life is, God can't forgive me. Oh, yes, he can, and he will. confess your sins, and God is gracious and faithful, just faithful and just, and he will forgive you of your sins, and he will cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. See, some of you, you came to church today, you thought the ceiling was going to cave in. You came with somebody today, they brought you, and you said, ceiling's going to cave in if I go, I'm that bad. I got news for you, this might sound funny, but good news, we're all bad. There's no good person, only Jesus. All right? And so that's a lie from the enemy, though. I can't come to, yes, you can. God has made a way for you to come back to God. All right? Watch out for the deception of the enemy. John 8:44, he's a father of life. He's a murderer. When he speaks, he lies. As soon as he speaks, every voice, every word from the enemy is a lie. Once he gets you understanding lies, letter B, it leads to discouragement. Lies, deception leads to discouragement. First, he's got to deceive you, then he can discourage you. Look at the word discourage. Just put a line between the S and the C. Dis and then what? Courage. He wants to take away your courage. He wants to take away your confidence. That's his game plan. And how does he do it? He accuses believers constantly. Revelation 12:10 says that he is the accuser of the brothers. Now he's been thrown down by that time, but it says he's the accuser and he accuses them day and night. Satan means accuser. That's what the word actually means. So what does he do? He tempts you. And by the way, the flesh tempts you. But he tempts you, and this is how much of a jerk he is. He tells you to do it. You do it. Then he gets on the other side of you doing it, and then he accuses you for doing it. That's pretty jerky, if you ask me. Now, we got to fight. One of the weapons we've got is the Word of God. Let me show you a passage of Scripture that we always quote. John 8:32. I'm going to start it. You're going to finish it. Are you ready? John 8:32, I'm going to start it, you're going to finish it. Are you ready? All right. John 8:32, and I won't even put it up yet. You shall know the truth. Yeah, you know that one, right? Okay. That's exactly what Jesus says. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And some of us say, well, I know the truth, but I still have bondage. Do you know why you don't have freedom? Because you didn't pay attention to the fact that Jesus started that phrase with the word and. He didn't start that with you. So this and says, wait a second, look back. Look back. Okay, well, let's look back. How did Jesus actually start the phrase? Well, first, the context, he said to the Jews who believed in him, so do you believe in Jesus? That's great, but you can still be in bondage while you believe. You can still be in bondage while you believe. So this is for us. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide, the word here means stay. If you abide or stay in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. What are you doing with the word of God? It cannot be an Airbnb in your mind. You got to build your house there. You got to build your house in the word. Your mind is a battlefield. The ground is up in here. What are you filling your mind with? Get into the scriptures outside of Sunday morning. Come on, somebody. You say, I don't understand it. When I read it, I get confused. That's okay. To this day, some parts still confuse me. But we grow. You got to give God something to play with. You got to give God the Holy Spirit something to work with. Put it in your mind. Deposit it. How about this? Take it up a notch. Memorize it. Rehearse it. Put it on your phone. Start playing it. You can even do it audio-wise on your phone. Let it be the first thing that you hear in the morning. Let it be the last thing you hear at night. Okay, this is how you fill your mind so that you get freedom. We're fighting for your freedom. You will not get free if you just vacation in the Word of God. It's got to be your habitation. So, deception, discouragement. By the way, how do you answer the discouragement of the enemy? How do you answer the discouragement of the enemy? Well, that's another passage for you. I'm just riffing today. Is that all right? Romans 15, verse 4 says this. Whatever was written in former days, scripture, was written for our instruction that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures. If the enemy's game plan is discouragement, the scriptures is encouragement. The scriptures are the weapon of your warfare to disable the deception of the enemy and thereby disable the discouragement of the devil and encourage. Check that word out. Give me some courage. How do I get courage? Because I spend time in the Word of God and I'm not swayed by the opinions of men. I'm not a liberal. I'm not conservative. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm a born again son of the Most High God and His Word is in my heart. That's how we win. But third part of the devil's plan is destruction. Ultimately, his goal is to kill you. That's his ultimate goal. It doesn't start with destruction. It starts with deception. It leads to discouragement. And then it ends up in destruction. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. So, understand the battle plan. This fortune-telling girl, this enslaved girl, was crying out for many days. And what was she saying? These men are servants of the Most High God. Verse 17, who proclaim to you the way of salvation. Now, what she says is right. But she's demon-possessed. You can say the right thing from the wrong spirit. I got to have you understand the spiritual component here, all right? You can do the right thing and still not be saved. You can look the right way and still not be saved. My question is not, are you doing... I'm not ever going to ask you, are you doing the right thing? I'm going to ask you, do you believe on the Lord Jesus? Do you believe in the Lord? You got to be set free from within. You got to be born again. All right? So Paul put up with this for many days, verse 18, and having become greatly annoyed, he turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. The name of Jesus is our second weapon. We've got the Word of God. We got to stay in it. We got to abide in it. We got to put it in our heart. And then we got to name the name of Jesus in our atmosphere. I want to encourage you today to understand the power of the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. Every time the apostles or the disciples of the Lord in the book of Acts cast out demons, they said, in the name of Jesus. Now, what does the word in the name mean? It's not abracadabra. It's not some magic formula. What it means is that I stand in Christ against the enemy. Me versus the enemy is a knockout every day for the enemy. I lose every day. But me standing in the name of Christ against the enemy is a knockout against the enemy every day. Because when you think about name in the book, in the Bible, name is reputation. I don't stand in my name. My name can't do anything. I don't have a reputation in the spiritual realm. Jesus has the reputation. Jesus is undefeated. All right, Jesus is the one who wins the battle. It's like having Michael Jordan on your team. I don't care who's on the other side, who's on the other bench. You got Michael Jordan, you're winning that sucker. Or more appropriately, you got Tom Brady on your side. All right, you know what I'm saying? That you got someone who's undefeated in the spiritual realm and you stand in his authority and in the name of Jesus, demons flee. Now, I encourage this. You might want to do it when no one's looking, but walk around and just claim the name of Jesus over your home. Walk around. Anybody notice that the name of Jesus is a swear word? This is not an accident. This is not an accident. The devil knows exactly what he's doing. He has tried to deride that name since it came to this earth. No one is out there hitting their finger with a hammer saying, oh, Buddha. No one gets into a car accident and says, oh, Muhammad. Do you know why? Because the devil knows those names have no power. He has nothing to do with those names because those names do not intimidate him. He has tried to deride the name of Christ. That stuff shows up on your TV. You shut it off. Somebody says that in front of you. You say, please, I believe in that name. Can you not use that word? Can you not use that name as a swear? Do you mind? Like, they'll respect everybody else's beliefs. They should respect ours. That's true tolerance. Yeah? Speak up. Say something. And people will respect that, by the way. But what you got to understand is that the devil wants you to disdain the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not a cuss word. The name of Jesus is the name above every other name. The scripture says that at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess in the earth and above the earth and below the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Satan has to flee at the name of Jesus. Now, during this fast and prayer, I want to encourage you to walk around your house, maybe late at night when everybody's asleep, and you just start saying, in the name of Jesus, peace over this house. In the name of Jesus, prosperity over this house. In the name of Jesus, sickness, flee from this house. When you have a newborn baby, don't show them to grandma and grandpa first. Show them to Jesus first. Lay your hands on their head. In the name of Jesus, this child belongs to Lord. No sickness, no disability, no frailty, strong strength in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. We've got power in the name of Jesus. Some of you get outside on your car. Just lay hands in the name of Jesus. I was driving down the highway yesterday with me and my wife next to me and my son, my 14-year-old son in the back seat, came up to this ramp, on-ramp for a highway. We stopped. I was actually driving pretty good, which is a rarity for me, pretty calmly. The wife was next to me. How many know? That's how it goes. Anyway, suddenly I hear bang. Car behind me gets rear-ended and starts to go towards my car. Lord, quicken my mind just enough. Put the gas on just a little bit, and I avoided getting rear-ended from the guy who got rear-ended behind me. Man, that'll shake you up. That'll shake you up. We're all in the car like, whoo. You know what it is? The protection of the Most High God. I don't need an accident right now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And I said, Lord, thank you for the protection that the name of Jesus puts over my house. Some of you wives, that's what you need. You don't harass him while he's driving. You just pray the name of Jesus over the car. Lord, he drives like a maniac. So you just, Jesus, you're going to have to really thank you that you are above all. The name of Jesus cast this demon out immediately. Now look what happens. Things turn quickly when her owner saw that their hope of gain was gone. That's what it's about. It's about money. They seized Paul, Silas. They dragged him to the marketplace before the rulers. I've been there, by the way. I've been in ancient Philippi. When they had brought them to the magistrates, these would be the justices. They said, these men are Jews. They are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us Romans to accept or practice. There's nothing new under the sun. This girl's set free from slavery to Satan. And the worldly system, the government, has a problem with it. Don't miss this. The crowd attacked them. The magistrates tore their garments, gave orders to beat them with rods. They were beaten on the back with rods for delivering a girl from slavery. It says they put them in the prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. I said this last service. Let me do it again. There is a graph I want you to get familiar with, and it's a very appropriate graph for us in our day. This is 2026. Let's just say this is 1900. And so this is time. And this, the vertical axis is, down here is crazy, and up here is truth. Okay? Crazy, truth, time. Now here's how it goes. Scripture never changes. Yeah? The Word of God never changes. Culture changes. Here's what's been happening for 100 years. Then 2020 came on. And it's just been going ever since. Now, the reason why our culture is having a harder time with Scripture is not because Scripture changed. It's because culture deteriorated. And Christians, listen to me. The more faithful you are to Scripture, the more crazy you are to culture. The problem is not Scripture. The problem is the culture. The problem is this world. And that's what they see. They gave orders to beat them. This is uncalled for. This is We will not tolerate this. Isn't that crazy? Nothing's new under the sun. They put him in prison. And it looked like, man, that's it. That's the end for Paul. That's the end for Silas. No. This is just a problem, but we can add praise to our problems and God can give us victory. So am I on point number two now? Write this down. Point number two, we utilize spiritual weapons. In the face of our obstacles, we utilize spiritual weapons. The spiritual weapon you got, the word of God, praising, I'm sorry, the name of Jesus and praise. Write this down, praise is a weapon. I'm sorry, praise, there's power in praise. Write that down. There's power in praise. Let me tell you what the power is. Letter A. Praise amplifies truth in the face of deception. What's the enemy's game plan? Lies. What does praise do? It destroys the lies of the enemy. Now, you've got to know the word. A lot of our Christian music in churches today, I can't tell you this with enough conviction, but a lot of church music today is becoming highly emotional and not scriptural. And our church, we do the best that we can to weed out the emotional music and get the scriptural music. We'll do the best that we can. But you've got to saturate the music with the truth. Amen. Otherwise, it's just celebration. Scripture has to be a part of it. Psalm 149, verse 6 says, let the high praises of God be in their throats and a two-edged sword in their hands. Praise in your mouth. A sword in your hand. What is the sword? Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word has to be in your hand. The praise has to be in your mouth. And here's what you can do. This is spiritual practice for some of you. Open the Bible, read stories, read scripture, and just give God thanks. If I was reading this scripture personally, devotionally, I would just say, Lord, I thank you that the name of Jesus has power over the powers of the enemy. And I just thank you for that. That's praise based on truth. So letter B, praise magnifies the Lord over our troubles. When you praise, you make God bigger. Not that you actually physically can make him bigger, but you make God bigger in the situation. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, bless the Lord, I will bless the Lord all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. And then this verse 3, I love this. And oh, magnify the Lord with, magnify, verse 3, magnify the Lord with me. What are you magnifying with your mouth? What are you magnifying with your mouth? So here's your options, ready? A lot of people, everybody's got problems, but instead of praise, they go to complaints. And complaints try to get between you and praise. And when you complain, all you're doing is magnifying your problems. What's coming out of your mouth? Take authority over your mouth. The scripture says, set a guard over my lips, Lord. Oh, this job, I hate this job. These people, this job, I just can't stand these people. Oh, Lord, would you just, man, you just, all you're doing is magnifying how much that job, you hate it. Oh, this family, these kids, those my money situation, oh man, it's so bad, bad, bad. And before you know it, you're actually helping the devil bring discouragement into your heart. This is why scripture says, do all things without complaining. Do all things without complaining. Why? Complaint gets into the soil of your heart. And before you know it, you've just talked yourself into absolute discouragement. So you got to learn how to praise in spite of the problem. Scripture says then, Psalm 34, verse 4, love this verse. He says, I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all my what? So when we started the prayer and fasting, I started to read through the Psalms and I came to this one. And I saw something in this verse that I never saw before, but I want you to see it. He sought the Lord answered, and the Lord answered how? By delivering from all his what? Fears. Notice that the verse does not say he delivered him from all the objects of his fears. In other words, nothing physically changed. The enemy didn't suddenly lay down his weapons. You get this? He just wasn't afraid anymore. What's the real victory? The real victory is not that the situation necessarily changes, but that your approach to the situation changes. You're not intimidated anymore. You're not anxious anymore. You're not depressed anymore. No. You're excited for what the Lord's going to do now. You're facing the same difficulty, but you've got a new spirit inside of you. You've got the same family, but you've got a new power at work in you. You've got the same workplace, but the name of Jesus has now raised you up so that you can go into that workplace no longer subjected to the spirit of the age, but empowered by the spirit of grace to overcome what's coming against you in the spiritual realm. This is what the Lord wants. He delivers you from fears. It might not change the situation, but you're not afraid of it anymore. And then let her see, praise scatters the enemy of the Christian. Again, I think as soon as you start praising in the problem, in the midst of your problems, the devil gets an asthma attack. I tried to throw everything at this sucker and he's still praising Jesus. What's going on here? That's exactly what Paul and Silas do. It says, at midnight, come on somebody, midnight praise. Couple things I want you to see. Paul and Silas, circle and, you need a team. Sometimes you need somebody to praise when you can't. You need teams. This is what life groups are for. So you have somebody who can praise when you just have problems. And I have been through situations where I needed somebody else's praise. Anybody with me on this? I need somebody else to praise when all I wanted to do was puke. Paul and Silas. And they were not just praising, but they were praying. And don't miss this. And the prisoners were listening to them, which means that this praise was L-O-U-D. Come on, somebody. Now, if there's one thing that gets me ripping, it's men in the church who get more excited over a football being tossed into the air 60 yards. And it doesn't even have to be a touchdown. It just has to be caught. And these men who act like church mice when we're praising Jesus up here, suddenly turn into charismatic, Holy Ghost, Pentecostal, fire believers. Their hands go up. No one tells them to put their hands up. The quarterback's like, now if you're comfortable, put your hand, if you're comfortable with this form of praise for us, put your hands up in the air. No one's telling them that. They just instinctively get excited and their hands go up and they shout and they celebrate and absolute strangers will turn to each other and high five, like we had something to do with this. Oh my gosh, we were eating hot dogs just 5 seconds ago, but look what we did. You did nothing. The guy in spandex did something. You did nothing. And I got no problem with you getting excited about it, but can you get a little bit more excited about the grave being empty? Pastor, I don't like to raise my hands. Oh, yes, you do. It's just for the things that really don't matter in your life. Because when that 60-yard pass gets caught, you still got your problems, but you're suddenly acting like you got no problems. Why is that? Because you want to be a part of something bigger than you. I got good news for you. You're part of something bigger than you. The scripture says, because he lives, we will live. His name gives us power. We stand in his authority. We've got power over the serpents and the scorpions in Jesus' mighty name. I got no problem with you celebrating football. Don't mishear me. Some of you are going to be like, well, Pastor Tim said I couldn't celebrate today, so I'm just keeping it down. I'm just saying, be the same person. Maybe it's because you don't know what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you. And I think that when we praise, we scatter the enemy. Just like in a football stadium, the fans get loud when the opposing team is on the field. We want to scatter them. We want to confuse them. Praise confuses the devil. When he throws his best brick at you and you still praise, he doesn't know what to do. Some of you, it's so easy for the devil. All he has to do is give you a bad hair day. That's all he has to do. Watch this. I'm going to mess with this girl's hair and she's going to be put off for the entire day. All right, anyway. And there was a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaking. All the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Praise spreads freedom. And when the jailer woke, the prison doors were open. He drew his sword and he was about to kill himself. Now here's what happened. He assumed they all left, deception. He got discouraged that he didn't do his job and he was about to destroy himself. And Paul speaks up and says, no, we're all here. Don't kill yourself. Don't harm yourself. We're all here. And the jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell down before Paul and Silas. And then he asked the most important question, what must I do to be saved? And it's not something you do. It's something that you believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. This man gets saved. And they spoke the word of God to him. And he took them that same hour and night and he washed their wounds. I love this because the jailer becomes a healer. And by the way, this is true salvation. This is true salvation. He's changed. Don't tell me you're saved if nothing's changing. All right? Now, I get it. The thief on the cross, he didn't do much changing. But let's be honest, he didn't have enough time. But if you're saved, there's a change. If you're saved, there's a change. The jailer becomes a healer. He was baptized at once. And he brought them out of his house and set food before him, and he rejoiced along with his entire household because he had believed. There's joy in his house. Praise scatters the enemy. Here's number three in your notes. When we face obstacles, we take ground from the enemy in the spiritual realm. In the face of our obstacles, if you add praise to your problems, you take ground from the enemy. Now, I never saw this before, and I've read this passage hundreds of times, and I'm not exaggerating. I've read this passage many, 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 many times. The next day, when it was day, anybody notice something here? The magistrate sent the police saying, let those men go. Paul praised, the prison doors opened. Morning comes, Paul's back in the prison. Let those men go. Because the victory really wasn't getting out of prison. Paul's not there to run. This is not about escapism. This is not about getting away from our problems. This is about overcoming our problems. I find it kind of humorous that Paul's like, all right, want us back in the prison? Okay, we'll go back in the prison. Okay, we'll sit here until morning and then we'll deal with this tomorrow. It's just a phenomenal picture. Because you know why? Because Paul was already free on the inside. Didn't matter if he was in prison. And the ground was taken. The battle was won. And so what happens is there's a message. And the church of Philippi is born in that city. I've been to this prison. We were there in October. It's now a tourist destination. And people from all over the world come to look at. I got to tell you, I've been there. It's not much to look at. It really isn't. It's just a cave. There's a little sign that says, the prison of Apostle Paul. And it's empty. That's good. But do you know that the church built a chapel on top of that prison in the 5th century? Now, unfortunately, further earthquakes caused damage to that church, and the church is no longer there. But people from around the world come to see where Paul was set free. That's ground taken from the enemy. What was a horrible place of torture is now a tourist destination for faithful believers in Jesus Christ to come and see what God can do when you add praise to your problems. Write this down. I kind of like sermon in a sentence. Here we go. Write this down. Praise turns your problem into a pulpit. Praise turns your problem into a pulpit. Many, many, many years ago, over 100 years ago now, John Harper was a powerful Scottish preacher. And I told you about D.L. Moody last week. Well, D.L. Moody started a church in Chicago. It's still there. It's called Moody Bible Church. It's got not just a college, not just a church, but a college, a seminary, and a publishing company, all with the name Moody. And by the way, Edward Kimball is the name of the Sunday school teacher that led D.L. Moody to the Lord up there on Court Street in Boston. Edward Kimball wrote about D.L. Moody saying that he had no literacy, could barely read, and there was very little chance that he would amount to anything. But he came to Christ. He came to Christ. And now there's a publishing company in his name. For a man who could barely read, there's a publishing company in his name. That's what Jesus can do. Anyway, the early part of the last century, Moody Bible Church hosted the Scottish preacher John Harper in 1911. And John Harper preached that place on fire, people coming, getting saved. He went back to Scotland and they sent letters. They said, you got to come back. You got to come back. You got to preach again. And he came back April 1912 and he boarded the ship, the RMS Titanic. Sailed through the ocean and on the night of April 14th, 1912, the ship went down. Witnesses say that John Harper ran around the deck of that ship while it was sinking and said, all the women and the children and the unsaved men to the lifeboats. One witness says that John Harper ran up to him with his life jacket, handed it to him and said, you need this more than I do. John Harper knew where he was going. And then when that ship sunk into the ocean, John Harper was clinging to a board, going to as many people as possible as they flailed for life. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? The current brought him up to one man. He said, sir, are you saved? The man said, no. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And the current took him away. A little later that night, the current swept him up to that same man. John Harper said, are you saved now? The man said, no. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And then John Harper sunk into the waters, into the icy grave, straight into the presence of the Father. And 4 years later, a gentleman in Ontario, Canada, stood up at a church meeting and said, I'd like y'all to know that I am John Harper's last convert. He came to Christ in the icy waters, was rescued on the Carpathia, and lives for Jesus, and died and went to heaven. What do I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God can take the sinking of the Titanic, turn it into a pulpit. What can he do for you? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Are you saved? Every location, I want to give you an opportunity to call on the Lord Jesus right now. Say this prayer with me, but say it quietly with your mouth if you know you need Jesus. Don't be afraid. You're not getting to heaven because you're a good person. You can't good person your way to heaven. You got to receive the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Right where you are, I want to ask you to do that in this moment. Say this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins. Today I believe Jesus died and rose again for me. And I declare with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to Waters Church Podcast. To learn more, connect with us, or to visit a campus near you, head over to waterschurch.org. We can't wait to see what God will do in your life this week. And join us again next week for more life-changing messages from Waters Church.